Tonight's shiur, Parshas Vayigash, sponsored by Mishpachat Weinblatt, Ramat Beit Shemesh, Luli Nishbas Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. Parshas starts off, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda approaches Yosef after he said he was going to take Binyamin as a slave for stealing the Gevia, etc. And he approaches him and he says, "Vayichar b'chav abdechi chemochich v'faro etc." Adini shal atavadav leimor yishlam ravoach. So the midrash says that Amar Yehuda, the Yosef Yehuda said to Yosef, "Binimusos shalanu." It says in our laws of conduct per se, it says, "Imein lo v'nimkar b'gnei vaso v'zeh yishlo." So he said, "Approach Yosef. He said, listen, Yosef." He didn't call him Yosef, he knows he's still right now the king of Egypt. And he said, listen, you know, in our Torah, basically, it says, a din of Eved Ivri, that imein lo, if he doesn't have what to pay, then nimkar b'gnei vaso. Then he is sold, you sell him, so he can pay back what he stole. But this one, in other words, Binyamin, who stole, so to speak, the goblet, yeshlo, he has it, he can pay it and finish. Why are you taking him as a slave? It's only imein lo nimkar b'gnei vaso. So the Pnine Kedem, he asks, why didn't Yehuda quote the beginning of the Pasuk? The beginning of the Pasuk says, Shalem Yeshalem, Vimein Lo Vinim Karigrezo. First says, pay. So why did he just say, the Pasuk says that you have to pay. So he'll let him pay, finish. Why do you have to say, and if he doesn't have, then he sold his slave, and he has, just to bring the first part of the pasuk that says, and someone that steals, first thing first, he has to pay. And he could pay, let him pay. So he said that Yehuda knew that if he was going to quote the beginning of the pasuk just, and just say, look, say the pasuk says in our Torah, you steal some, you have to pay. You know, pay what it's worth. So, Yosef Kintaina, you can't pay me for this. Why? Because it's priceless. It's worth, it's no price tag. Something priceless. So you can't pay me for it. So therefore, what did he say? He said the end of the pasuk. Why? Because the Gemara says in Kiddushin that if somebody steals something, and he doesn't have, we sell him as an Eved Ivri. However, what would be this situation if what he stole was worth much more than he is worth? Say he stole something worth $1,000, and the Eved himself is only worth, I don't know, $100. Okay, so if he's worth $1,000, okay, he stole $1,000, he's worth $1,000, so he sells himself for the value. But let's say what he stole is worth much more. Says the Gemara in Kiddushin, you don't sell him. Ah, so Meile, this is what Yehuda was saying. He was saying, Memanashach. Yosef, what do you want to say? You want to say that he stole something which is priceless. I know you can't pay me for it. It's priceless. It's got no price tag. Ah, if that's the case. So, again, if it has a price tag, so let him pay. Elamai, you'll say it's priceless. It's too expensive. He can't pay me back. So then, you shouldn't be sold either. Why? As we just said, because if the thing you stole is worth much more than the Eved, then you don't sell the Eved. Either let him pay, and if you're saying no, it's too much money, it's priceless, and then you can't sell him either, take him either as a slave. And that's why he pointed out the end of the pasuk. Says Adoni Sha'al es avadav lemor hayesh lechem avoach. Says you asked us. He's speaking again to Yosef, who at this point is still in their eyes the king. So Yehuda said, you asked us, do we have a brother, or a father or a brother? You asked. So what was he trying to get at? He says the Nachum, Nechmad v'Naim, Sefer, he says that, he said, look, Yosef, what are you saying, or king? You're saying that Binyamin stole this goblet, and this goblet is something that he could see everything, know everything with this goblet. So he says, excuse me, that's not the case. Why? Because you asked us, do you have a father or a brother? Well, why did you ask us? Manafshach, again, if this special goblet of yours, you can see everything and know everything, So, and that's why it's such an expensive thing, and that's why, you know, you have to take Binyamin and take him as a slave, for what he did, he stole this special thing. So why did you ask, Yeshlachem Abawach? Elamai, it must be that it's not a special goblin. You didn't know if we have a brother or a father. That's why you had to ask us. So Mele, so finished. So what do you, just let him pay for it and finished. It says in Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Gimel, Yosef reveals himself. He says, "Vayomer Yosef Elachav, Ani Yosef, Haod Avichai." Famous statement, right? I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? The Imre Yehuda said that Yosef said this because he wanted to convince his brothers that he really was Yosef. And how was he doing so? Because he said, "Haod Avichai." He told his brothers, "I don't know if you noticed, but I was constantly asking the whole time, is your father still alive? Is the father again? Is my father still alive?" He said, "How come I didn't say anything about my mother? Why about father?" Why? The answer is Pashtun, because you didn't have a mother. Rachel died. Okay? But so that was his proof of that I'm your brother. Haod Avichai. How come I was constantly asking about our father? I wasn't mentioning the mother, Elamai, because I knew that there is no mother. So that must, how do I know there's no mother? Must be that I'm that I'm your brother, and I know that our mother is Rachel's dead. Okay. The famous midrash, lots of Torah on it, on this pasuk. The midrash says, "Amar Abakoin Bardala." Oy lanum yom adin, oy lanum yom atochecha. He says, "Woe to us, to the yom adin, the yom atochecha, the day of rebuke." Why? Yosef ktanam shel shvatim haya. Yosef was one of the youngest of the shvatim, and lo yachlu lamod mipnei tochachto. And even so, what does it say? Lo yachlu lanot ado ki nivalu bipanav. Right after he revealed himself, they were shocked; they couldn't say anything. He says, even though he was one of the youngest of shvatim, they were didn't know what to say. So, kashiyavo Hashem v'yochiach kol echad v'echad l'fi mashehu, that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes in the future and is going to reveal himself and rebuke everyone according to l'fi mashehu, according to who he is, we're going to explain a little bit what that means. All the more so. So, all kinds, like I said, Torah on this midrash. Ksav Sofer explains what's the difference if he was one of the younger of the Shvatim or not? Like Yosef, one of the Tanei Shvatim. Okay, why is that so significant? So he gives the following mashal. He says, imagine if a guy comes up to the president of, say, President of the United States, and he says, I'd like a favor of you. You know, could you please give me, I need this and this, whatever, maybe you can help me get this. The president looks at him, he says, "What? How could you have such chutzpah? Just last week, you smacked me in the face publicly, and you have the gall to approach me and ask me for a favor?" He said, "How could you do so? How can you?" Okay, that's understand the response. He says, "But what if the president would say something different?" And the guy asks him, "Can you do me this favor?" The president says, "What? A chutzpah? Do you remember you were in kindergarten with me and I had this toy and you snatched the toy from me and you expect me to do you a favor?" So the guy would probably answer. He says, "Listen, you weren't the president of the United States then. You know, you were just a little kid with me in kindergarten. Okay, so I took your toy. You know, okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. But, you know, that was then. You're not the, you know, you weren't who you are now." So Mele, the Nimshal is, that the brothers were, in this case, you know, Yehuda representing the brothers, asking that, again, Yosef was now still in their eyes the king, should release Binyamin, you know, don't take him as a slave, should leave, you know, do us a favor. So what was their taina? Their taina was, he says, "Look, Yosef, I know, what are you going to say? Or king, you know, what are you going to say? You're going to say, after, you know, you hear Yosef reveals himself, and he says, you know, Ani Yosef Yod HaVichai." So then he said, "Okay, you know, please, but, you know, have a heart with Binyamin." Because they can have a time, and they can say, "Look, Yosef, okay, whatever we did to you in the past, but we didn't do it to you as the king. We don't know you're the king now, fine. You're very chashev. But when we sold you, you weren't the king. You were one of the Ketanim of the Shvatim. You were just like quote unquote, in kindergarten with us. You know, you were little in the time when we sold you. We would never do such a thing to you now, who you are, such a chashuv of a person. When you do, you were little. So l'chura, they had a time, and yet it still says no. The brothers there, they were shocked. They couldn't answer him because they were nivalu in panav. They were shocked. Even though they had a tiny, they could have said, what we did to you, we did when you were just, you know, one of our little brother, you know. We would never do that to you now, whenever you're the king. They had a good taina, but they couldn't say it. They were still too shocked. It was just the revelation was too great for them. Memele, he says, that's the Chal V'Chomer, right? If the brothers who had a taina and said, okay, what we did to you was only when you were little, and yet they still weren't able to say that even. So what's going to be, let's see, Lava, when we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu? Are we going to be able to say, yeah, Hashem, when I sinned against you, you weren't the King of Kings, you know, then. You were just, you know, with us in kindergarten. Now you're the King of Kings, okay, you know. No, he was always the King of Kings. The Mele, they, as the Chal V'Chomer, they had what to say. And said, look, you were only a little one of us, and they weren't able to answer back. So Chal V'Chomer, we're not going to be answering after Hashem, and we don't have such a time. And we can't even say that Hashem, okay, at the time you were the King of Kings. He was always the King of Kings. It's a number of different perushim, and what is it, what the Midrash says, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to give us rebuke, everyone, lefi mashahu. What does that mean, lefi mashahu? So Shalom Shadron explains it that you know, Bachar approached and says, "Hey, how come you're not learning Torah, not learning enough?" He says, you know, I have no patience. It's hard for me to sit. I've got no sitzfleisch. You know, it's very hard. Or it's too hard for me. Whatever." So what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu going to do? He's going to rebuke everyone lefi mashahu and say to who he really is, meaning he's going to say, excuse me, you have no patience? Yeah, I can't sit down for more than 5 minutes. Well, how come when you were reading your novel, you know, you were sitting guns fine, you know, you're sitting there for 2 hours, you couldn't put it down, you know, this mystery novel or whatever, and you're that you had plenty of patience for, and not a lot of sit flesh, whatever, only when it comes to Torah and that all of a sudden you don't have patience for. Or I don't have a head for that. That's hard. I don't have a head. Yeah, when it came to figuring out your crossword puzzles or your whatever, you know, those your games. Yeah, all those you had a head for. Also, when it comes to now I don't have a head. So that's the rebuke of Kodesh Baruch Hu is again the fi mashahu to who you are. You know what you hear what you're saying. Well, you're so to yourself. Rav Shalom also says brings he was once by Rav Isaac Sher in Slobodka. And Rav Isaac, Rosh Hashiva, he called him over and he said, you want to have a look at the Beis HaKfaras? So Rav Shalom said, Beis HaKfaras? Beis HaKfaras is not near the yeshiva, you know, Beis HaKfaras. He says, yeah, come with me. So he takes him to the window and he looks outside, like onto the street. And he says, you see the Beis HaKfaras? So Rav Shalom says, no, there's no Beis HaKfaras here. I tell you, it's the other side of town. He says, no. He says, look. You see that man over there? He says, yeah. He says, that man is a very big professor. He's a Jewish guy, a very big professor. Not religious, nothing, but he's a great professor. He says, you know this guy? He says, well, he grew up, you know, from home, whatever. But his parents, you know, wanted to get a good education, whatever. He sent him to this school, that school, ended up in university, whatever. Gave up the Torah, and he's a great professor. So, you know what? Had he gone to through the right channels, yeshiva, whatever, he'd be a great Rosh Yeshiva. He's got a fantastic head and fantastic mind and everything. He would be a great Rosh Yeshiva today. So, meaning that in this guy is a buried Rosh Yeshiva, right? He's a professor, but he's a buried Rosh Yeshiva in this guy. This guy should have been a Rosh Yeshiva. And then he pointed to another guy. See that guy over there? He says, yeah, he's a big musician. Why? He's a big Baal Regesh. He's a very emotional person, whatever. He would have made a great mashkiach, this guy. Okay? And there's a mashkiach buried in him. Okay? It's basic forest out there. So he said, that's also a pshat, lefi mashahu. I mean, of course, Baruch Hu is going to rebuke everybody according to what's buried inside of him, what he really could have been, and he didn't make use of his great potential. The Ben Ishchai says you can read it instead of lefi mashahu to who he is, you can read it as one word, mashahu, right? Meaning mashahu means a little bit, like we see that chametz is aser b'mashahu, even a drop, a tiny bit is aser. that the meaning that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to rebuke us on those things that we thought, Hashem's not going to, you know, care about these little tiny averas. He's going to, you know, get us for those big, big fat ones, you know, but little ones, no, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to rebuke us lafi mashu, even for those mashu averas, you know, little things that we thought, you know, the big things, who cares about the little things? No, Hashem cares even about the little things as well. And finally, one other idea says there's once a bacher that he heard they're having a sale on suits, you know, and they go to the outlet factory, the other side of town, and great savings, you can save yourself $100. So he was like, wow, great. So he runs out of Seder and he makes his way to the other side of town. He goes there, buys a suit, comes back, whatever. Oh, he got himself a suit, saved himself $100. It took him 5 hours, but he saved himself $100. So what does that say? What does that tell us? It tells us that the 5 hours of learning Torah is worth $100. Right? That he's say Koveya the Mechir. He sets the price. Right? He's willing to lose 5 hours of learning in order to save to make himself $100. So what do you see? That a person he sets the price of what he's gonna get paid. If he values the Torah and no money in the world is can compare to the Torah, whatever. So then that's the reward he's going to get. But if he's going to set a price tag of things, so he'll get paid according to what he sets it. So that's lefi mashahu. Okay, it says that the pasuk relates in Perek Mem Hey, pasuk Kaf Beis. Says that Yosef. Gave gifts to his brothers. The kulam nasan chalifos malos gave them like suits. Speaking of suits, and the Binyamin nasan shlosh miat kesef v'chamesh chalifos malos. But the Binyamin he didn't give him just one suit; he gave him five. So Rav Chaim Berlin points out that if you look at the way the pasuk's written. The first time, when it says he gave to each one of them, chalifos is written with a vav, male, chalifos. And then, when it says into Binyamin, he gave five, chamesh, chalifos, malos, chalifos here is without a vav. Strange, the same word, one time with a vav, and one time without a vav. So why is that the case? So he says that we find by the Shnei Luchos Abris, the word luchos is also written without a vav. Lamed ches taf. Luchos without vavs. And Chazal tell us that this is to tell us that both luchos were exactly the same. Same size, whatever. They were exactly equal. So we learn from here, says Rav Chaim Berlin, that when you leave out the vavs, that's a siman that the two things are exactly equal. If there are more and more things, whatever it might be, that they're all equal. So with that, he explains the pasuk that Yosef gave to each one of his brothers a suit. Now, each brother was a different size. One's 38, 36, 42, whatever. This one's different. So Mela, they were not all the same. They're all different. All the brothers different suits. So Mela, there it's written with a vav because they're not equal. They're all different. Whereas Lubinyamin Natan, five chalifos chaser. Why? Because he didn't give him five different sizes for the one person, Binyamin. So you have to give five suits the same size, and Mela, it was written chaser, because the five suits were all the same. So whenever something's the same, you write it chaser. So that's Rav Chaim Berlin. So others want to take this step further, the Gan Rava, and he says, with this, we can also explain the same phenomena in the Navi. It says by Shimshon, right? Shimshon, he gave a riddle to these Reyim, his companions, well, these Plishtim, and asked them a riddle, and he said he made a deal with them, right? And he says that if you get the riddle right, I'll give you 30 of my suits, right? And if you don't get the riddle, you have to give me 30 suits, chalifos, right? Okay, So the story goes that they couldn't figure it out, but they went to his wife, the plishti that he married, and said, "Why don't you get the answer for us? You know, for we're in trouble if you don't. You know, get the answer for us from your thing." So she tried prying and prying and prying. Eventually, he couldn't take it anymore. She was nagging him to death. He says, "Okay," and he told him the answer. Told her the answer. She went and told them, and then they obviously had the answer. They gave the answer. He got very upset, and he flipped out. He went and he killed 30. Plishtim, and he took each of their suits, and he gave them the 30 suits that he owed. That's the story in the nut. So it's beautiful. It's going to this vort. It works out the following. So when he told them the riddle, so he said that if you'll tell me the right answer, then I'm going to give you shloshim chalifos begadim. There it's written chaser. Chalifos. Why? Because he was giving of his own suits to them. So his own suits are all the same size. He's going to take 30 of his suits and give it to them. So since they're all the same size, it was written chaser. And he said, "Vim lo tochlu, if you can't give me the answer, then you have to give me shloshim sadim shloshim chalifos with a vav." Why? Because he told these 30 guys, right, each one's going to give me his suit, so each one's going to be a different size. So again, since now they're not all equal, so now it was written with a vav, chalifos with a vav, because they're not equal. So what happened in the end? So in the end, you know, they tricked him, whatever, got the answer. He got upset, and he didn't give them 30 of his own suits. What did he do? He went and he killed 30 plishtim and took their suits. Now, these 30 plishtim are all different people, different sizes. So Mela, he ended up giving them all different sizes. And therefore, and the pasuk which says, he killed them, yachmehem shloshim ish, bikacha chalitzotam, bitena chalifos, there it's written with a vav. Because they're all different, because they're all from 30 different people. Also with this yesod, can answer another question. As they ask, another parish, first of all, why is by Binyamin, the five suits is written chaser, without a vav. So the Gra says that Chazal bring down that Efshar Shnitztayr Bo Oso Tzadik V'Kashal Bo Zaro. He says, how could it be, you know, Yosef's father Yaakov made this mistake of favoring, you know, Yosef and gave him the Kos Pasim, etc. And that caused all the tzaras. And here, how could Yosef do the same thing? Give all his brothers one suit and five suits to Binyamin. How could he do that? After everything that happened because of the jealousy that, you know, that was caused by their brothers because their father showed him favoritism. And now here he is showing favoritism to Binyamin over the other brothers. How can he do such a thing? So the Gemara, the Chazal answers and says, Remez Ramazo. He's giving a remez that in the future, Binyamin's offspring was going to be Mordechai Tzadik, and he was going to go out wearing five big day malchus. Therefore, that's why he gave him five suits. So they asked the question, they grasped the question. How does that answer it? So cause jealousy, cause hatred, cause that. Why? Did you want to give a remez that, you know, in the future Mordechai is going to come from? Well, that's an answer to the question. How could he do such a thing? Show favoritism with all the tzaras that it caused in the past. Well, you want to give a remez, you know, in the future. That's worth it. Cause the jealousy because of a remez you want to say about Mordechai. So he answers the Gra. He says, no. He says, Kavada didn't want to cause jealousy. What did he do? He made sure that the five suits that he gave Binyamin was worth any one of the suits of the brothers. Meaning, you know, you go to the store, you can buy a suit for, you know, $100, you can buy a suit for, you know, $2,000, right? Different quality suits. So in Achanami, he gave Binyamin five suits, but his five suits was, let's say, each one was worth, let's say, $100, was $500, and he gave each brother a $500 suit. So in the end, he didn't play favorites. They all got more. Why did he do that? In many ways, he was giving them all the same amount of money in suits, so why would he give him five and him one, and then one? That's what the Gemara answers. So this is a remiss, and in the future, he was going to, five people were going to, and five, Mordechai was going to come out wearing the five big day malchus. So with this, can also explain why by Binyamin, the chalifos is written chaser. Why? Because, yes, there were five suits, chalifos, but they were chaser. Meaning, as the Gras said, each suit was not worth that much. Only altogether, they're worth like one of the suits of the brothers. And Mele, the suits was written chaser to show that there are five suits, but each one was chaser. There's not the quality was not the same like the one suits of the brothers. Okay. It says, Mishalach etechava yelechu vayomer alehem al tirguzu bedara. So he also sends his brothers home back to the father. And he told them, "Don't al tirguzu b'derech." And famous Chazal, right? That he was telling him, "Don't al tisasku b'devar halacha." You know, don't be osik in Torah. You're going to get lost if you do. You'll get too involved with the Torah. So al tirguzu b'derech. So the Briskarov points out. He says, "You see, you know, the godless here." After just what happened, you know, this whole episode, and Avos finally reveals himself and this and that. You know, if it's any one of us, and we've now sort of been, after this whole incident, you know, start heading home back to our father, what do we talk about? The whole thing is like, wow, you know, look what happened. You see, in the end, it was really Yosef, and we thought it was the king, and yeah, wow, you know, like after an event, you know, discuss, wow, remember, you know, after the chasana, you know, he said, oh yeah, you remember this dance and that, and, you know, discuss what happened, whatever. After this whole thing, and what's gonna be, oh, now we have to go and bring our father, he's gonna be starting the galas, all these, in Yanim, you know, that we assume they're gonna talk. No, what were they talking about? Torah. That's it. After all, forget, okay, all this excitement, but back to the sugya, you know. And therefore, you also have to tell them, I know you guys, you know, you're not going to talk about just, you know, the events of the, you know, the news, you know. You're going to talk about Torah right away. So therefore, you have to tell them, Altir Gezubaderech. Rabbi Ben Karelishin Shlita, he medayek that. It says, funny, it says in the Pasuk, V'yashalach etecha v'yalechu. And the brothers, he sent the brothers away, right? V'yashalach, he sent them away, v'yalechu, and they went. And he said to them, "Al tirguzu b'derech." He sent them away. He said, "Vayashalach v'yelechu." And then he said to them, "Don't, you know, al tirguzu b'derech." But they left already. Who was he talking to? So he says, "No, what happened? He sent them away, and they v'yelechu." But and they took one step, they're ready all into the sugya. They're ready to start talking to him. They didn't have a chat in there for he said, it's ridiculous here. Right away, you know, okay, no, I'll take him to the there. I see you guys, you know, you haven't left the door yet, and you're ready talking to her. She says, no, I'll take him to the get to tell him. So Maisa's one of Reich was learning Yavamas. Now Yavamas, I'm sure you've all learned it, but very, very, probably the most difficult Masech in all of Shas. Very complicated. And so this Avreich was learning, and he had a difficulty, whatever, in it. So he decided to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you know. So he went to his house one morning, and he saw that he was sitting by his table eating breakfast, which was composed of an apple. He goes, "Oh, piece of apple?" He was like, eating apple. So he saw that Rav Chaim was sitting by the table, and with the, like a book, a sefer, you know, assumes a sefer, and open up in front of him, and he's like, turning page after page, you know, eating an apple, turning another page, eating another piece of apple, turning another page, you know, going through this page by page. So Stam the Avreich was interested, you know, he's going to wonder what the sefer he's reading, you know, he's like reading it through like that, you know, while he's eating his apple, you know. So the Avreich came closer and he looked, Maseches Yevamos. He's like, what? He's reading it like a book, you know. Also, of Chaim Kamil, once there was a Talmud Chacham, he also was learning Masechet Yevamos. He had a very difficult kasha, you know. And so he wanted that, you know, he wanted to answer his question. But again, you know, it's not that type of Masechet. It was so complicated. So you know, you just come up to somebody, oh, I have a question. What's the proud over? You know, I mean, you have, it's somebody only that's osik in the sugya, you know, you can, but you really want to have the answer. So he went to Rav Chaim Kamil, that's all, and he asked him, he said, okay, I'll try my luck, you know, I'll ask the question. So he, you know, proceeds, he says, listen, I have a kashin, this Masechet Yevamos, and then it goes, this whole complicated thing, boom, right on the spot, boom, gives him the answer. Just like that, you know, kilu, So the saw the Talmud Chacham like was like shocked. I mean, he's been working on this for hours and everything, and then so, you know, Chaim just answered, boom. He says, he said, listen, I know you look shocked, but let me tell you something. If you've gone through this Masechet 200 times like I have, you'd also be able to answer just like that. One last idea for tonight. It says that Yaakov Avinu, after Yosef sent these wagons to get him, it says, "Vayaris agalos asher shalach Yosef, fatechi ruach Yaakov Avihim." So he saw these wagons come to pick him up, and he was happy. Fatechi Yaakov, he got, you know, ruach, he got the new life. You know, was happy, Baruch Hashem. So the question is, what was this? Okay, there's midrashim, you know, he was happy because he saw agalos, egla, rufa, and it was a hint. Okay, but putting all the, you know, the drushes aside, pashup shot in the pasuk, why was he so happy when he sees these wagons that are coming to take him to Mitzrayim? What was the simcha? So the Lakute Bata Lakute says, brings the mashal, says there was a yid from Poland, and he left Poland, he went to Germany. And went there, started going to school there, da, da, da. One thing led to another, he became totally assimilated, and went to, you know, university, this, whatever, and lost his Yiddishkeit completely. He ended up marrying a Goya. And he had children from her, whatever. Now, he knew that, of course, chas v'shalom, if his parents, you know, back in Poland, find out what he, you know, what's going on, they'll have a heart attack, you know. And they didn't want to hurt his feelings, their feelings, whatever. But, you know, he had to make sure he kept a connection with them. So he, every now and then, would make a trip to back to Poland to visit his parents. But, you know, he couldn't go look where he was looking. So, of course, he went by himself, number one, obviously. And he would make sure, plan out his trip ahead. In the meantime, grow a beard, pay us, whatever. You know, take out his, you know, brush off his, dust off his bekasher, whatever. And then he would go home and looking like a chassid again. And said, oh, I knew not. His father's happy, good. And he did this, you know. So every now and then his father said, listen, you know, we never came to you. We never saw your wife, your kids, you know. Maybe we should come to visit you once in a while. He said, no. He said, why not? He said, no, why? It's not convenient. He always found an excuse. Anyways, one day the father, he says, something's up, you know, fishy. I got to check this out. I can't. So he takes his suitcase and he heads to Germany. So he goes to Germany, you know, goes to finds out where his son lives, knocks on the door. This Shiksa heads to the door, you know, and sees these kids that look like her and whatever. And he looks and then he sees his son there in the background. And okay, it didn't take him too long, you know, he got the whole picture, okay? So, Mimele said, so that's the, that explains over here. That Yaakov Avinu, you know, he didn't know. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Who knows? Maybe he became, you know, assimilated and this and that. Whenever he never saw him. So now when he saw that Yosef sent Agalas to bring him to him, he says, oh, it must be that he's in good shape. Like we saw in the story, if he was, he wouldn't go inviting me to his house. If he was chas v'shalom with the sheiks, he wouldn't invite me to his house like we saw in the story. The fact that he sent the wagons to bring him, he says he was happy. Simcha, see, he's inviting me. It must be that he's in a good matzav over there. He was willing to invite me to his house and take me there. L'shem, we should have a freilichen rest of Hanukkah, last couple of days. And we should zoiche to see the light, and Mashiach tzidkenu, yimheir v'yameinu, amen.